Wop bop a loom bop lop bop bop tooty poot.
Oh, we lost Little Richard over the weekend. Died on Saturday at the age of 87. The architect of rock and roll is what he was called and what he called himself, and one of the true greats. And we remember him in the music this morning. We'll have a entire playlist posted at WAMC.org/roundtable. Good morning, all. It's 13 minutes past 9 o'clock on this 11th day of May. I hope you are well. I hope everything went well. I hope you had a lovely weekend. I hope it was a good Mother's Day for all who celebrated. And I thank you for being with us this morning. We've got a lot to talk about, wonderful things to mention, and then some horrible things to talk about as well. So we'll do all of that over the next 2 hours this morning, and we welcome you to join us. Panel at WAMC.org. Panel at WAMC.org. Let me quickly introduce our group this morning. Political consultant Libby Post is here. Good morning, Libby. How are you?
Good morning, Joe. We're doing okay.
Excellent.
Just living the dream, you know. I know.
It's pretty exciting, isn't it? How's Shayna doing? Well, everything fine?
Lynn, yeah.
Oh, you're all good.
Everybody's fine. Shayna's right here with me, wanting
good.
To listen.
Please don't. Hopefully, Lynn isn't listening and know that I asked about the dog before I asked about her. But still,
she is. Good.
Although she probably would understand, and I thank you.
Yes.
Also, we want to welcome Rosemary Armeo, investigative journalist, adjunct professor at UAlbany. Good morning. How are you?
I'm a slug this morning. I'm still in my bed in a bathrobe, and the cat's on the bed next to me snoring.
Oh, that's okay. All right.
I know.
Sounds like a good. Sounds like a good start.
That's quite an image you set up in our mind.
It is.
That's good.
It is.
And Alan Chartok joins us. Good morning, Alan. How are you, my friend?
Well, good. But I never want to miss an opportunity, Joe, to say how much I admire what you've been able to do here the last couple of days and the last couple of weeks. I mean, it's astounding how well we are doing. And perhaps you want to bring everybody up to date as to what we've got here.
We're talking about our fund drive and making the money here. And, you know, some people have noted this. I think Alan and I certainly have noted this. But look, you know, this isn't a normal fund drive for us. Normally we have a lockbox and then we try to put as much in before the actual fund drive. It's quite clear we can't have a normal fund drive this year. So we've been talking a lot about the lockbox during this program. And as of right now, Alan and I started, last Monday, a week ago today. And as of right now, this morning, with all numbers in, and including from the state of Wisconsin, $835,314 in the lockbox and in our total. So that's an incredible amount of money, $835,314 of our $1 million goal.
Well, now, that is astounding. We expected to go limping into June 1st, you know, hoping we could make that million so we wouldn't have to have a fund drive. Looks like if everybody just wants to, you know, bring it on home, as Artie and Happy used to sing, we could do that. We could do it right now if we want to. Let me just say that we have a problem. I don't want to complain, but we have a little bit of a problem in that there is such a potential loss here at WAMC. I mean, just the Linda alone, could cost a great, great deal of money. And, you know, we know we can make it work. We're not firing anybody. We're not furloughing anybody. We're doing everything we can to keep it going. But if you can't, it would be great if you understand what we're facing and put some money and do this to help us finish this thing into an envelope, and a lot of people are, by the way, and send it to 318 Central Avenue, Albany, New York, 12206. That's 318 Central Avenue, Albany, New York, 12206. You know, it's just so remarkable how everybody has been so good in this. Hey, what are we doing this morning, Joe?
Well, we have two very special things that we're doing this morning. In the first hour today, we are going to try to make $25,000 in the between now and 10 o'clock. And what we did this on Thursday, and we're going to do it again today, but for a different group, a different organization. And we are going to have the food bank. We're going to help out the food bank of Western Massachusetts. We've wanted to work with them for a very long time, and we are thrilled. Thanks to, and I'll throw this over to you, Alan, but thanks to the wonderful Emily Fisher. You can tell us about her and all that she has done for us. But for every $100 donation to WAMC, Emily Fisher will donate the equivalent of 3 months of food for a family of four to the food bank of Western Massachusetts. So that is an amazing thing that we're doing this morning. I just have to real quick and check, but we have 300 of these opportunities this morning. 300 of these opportunities.
Not a lot.
No. And but
it'll go fast.
It will go fast. It is $30,000, and we are trying to make $25,000, so you know, you do the math. But yes, so and we're going to talk in just a minute to Andrew Morehouse, who's the executive director of the food bank at Western Massachusetts. But I'm hoping, Alan, you can tell us a little bit about the wonderful Emily Fisher.
I want to. You know, Emily Fisher has always been there for WAMC, but not only for us. For example, she was the chair at Simon's Rock for years and years, and she was the person who did so much to keep Bard College and Simon's Rock afloat, actually, in Great Barrington. She's wonderful. Now, Joe, I want to tell you, we have some wonderful people here. There's a woman named Beth Mosier who is phenomenal. She actually stayed with us for a little while. And the wonderful people. And it's just one example. This is not what we're doing today, only what we're doing, but one example of how good people are. Despite the problems, despite the exposure, we have a wonderful food pantry right here in Great Barrington. People go and they get food for their families, and there are a lot of families in our area that do not have anything and really need this. And so the fact that Emily Fisher has come along and said, okay, I'll give you this money, and what we're going to do is we are going to release a certain amount of money for every time somebody gives $100 to WAMC, we'll release some money, and that will feed a family of four. So if you pledge $100, if I got this right, Joe, you will feed a family of four, because Emily Fisher will release that money
right.
to the Western Massachusetts.
The money comes to us, but the Emily Fisher donation that triggers her to make the money available to feed a family. So basically, you're adopting a family of four for 3 months of food. And this is the first bank, the first time we've worked with the Food Bank of Western Massachusetts. We're thrilled about that.
I've always wanted to.
Right now, we just so you know, we're at $835,000. So we're looking to get to 45, 55, 60, right? Yes, $860,000 in the next 40 minutes. So we will work on that this morning. Let us welcome to this conversation Andrew Morehouse, Executive Director of the Food Bank of Western Massachusetts. Good morning, Andrew. How are you, my friend?
I am well, Joe. Thank you very much for having me. It's a pleasure. I met you many, many years ago, and I have to say, to just get it out there, I feel like I know you all, because I'm sure you've heard this before. I hear you every day. So thank you for all the good work you're doing, getting the message out there of what our communities need to know.
So my question is this. What exactly, how does it all work? What's the Food Bank of Western Massachusetts, and how does that money trickle down to people like our great people here in Great Barrington who are doing such wonderful work?
That's a great question, and I appreciate it, because there's often a misunderstanding of what our role is versus that of the local food pantries that most people know in their communities. The Food Bank of Western Massachusetts is similar to the other 199 food banks across the country that are all members of Feeding America, the national network of food banks. We, like our brethren and sisters, serve as clearinghouses for receiving, storing, and then distributing very, very large quantities of food to individuals who are going hungry or at risk of hunger, or more broadly speaking, food insecure in communities in our specific service area. So we, the Food Bank of Western Massachusetts, serve all four counties of Western Mass, Berkshire County, and the three counties of the Pioneer Valley, much like the Regional Food Bank of Northeastern New York in Latham serves the Albany area and beyond.
And much like WAMC, which serves that entire region.
That is right. And so what we do is we receive very large quantities of food in our warehouse, and we make it available to what we call our local feeding partners or member agencies, food pantries where people in their communities can go for a bag of healthy groceries or to a meal site for a hot meal. They order that food from the food bank, and we're able to either deliver it directly to them, or they come to our warehouse here in Hatfield, right off of Interstate 91 in the beautiful Pioneer Valley. And in that way, we're able to, over the course of every month of the year, provide food to about 89,000 people through this vast network of food pantries and meal sites, which in Western Massachusetts is about 175 sites strong of independent food pantries and the like, most of which are actually faith-based organizations, and the remaining are nonprofit organizations in their own right. And in addition to that, we also distribute food directly as is often coined, food deserts. And we have 26 sites of our what we call our mobile food bank, one of which is in Great Barrington at the Community Health Plan, CHP. Where we distribute food once or twice a month to as many as 300 people in a mere 45 minutes. And then lastly, we also distribute food at 51 senior centers through a brown bag program, where we're providing 7,000 elders every month a bag of healthy groceries.
Well, that's fantastic. Joe, if I can just interrupt for a moment to say that we have a challenge on the table. You never know when they're going to be here. There are actually three people who have pledged $1,000 if we can make this $25,000 in this hour, and that's not going to be easy. So our very good friends, Mary Ann and Bruno A. Quinson of Pittsfield, Massachusetts. I love these people. I've known them for years. They are fabulous people. Anonymous from Niskayuna, New York, and Anonymous from Louie's mom of Del Mar, New York. So that's $3,000 if we can make this. And Joe, can you tell us exactly, go over again the numbers where we are?
Sure. Right now we are in our lockbox. We are at $836,184. We are right now waiting for, we need to get to the $860,000 point to make this challenge, to get those challenges that you just mentioned, the $3,000 in total. For every donation of $100 to WAMC, the wonderful Emily Fisher will donate the equivalent of 3 months of food for a family of four to the Food Bank of Western Massachusetts. And we only have 300 of these opportunities. I will just tell you that on Thursday we did a similar thing with the food pantries of the Capital District, and we were quote unquote sold out in about 40 minutes. So
now let me just say, Joe, there must be somebody who's scratching their head and say, well, that's Western Massachusetts. I live in New York, or I live in Connecticut. Why should I? The answer is that when we did it for New York State, you should have seen all the people from Berkshire County and Connecticut who are putting money into it, because feeding a family of four, no matter where they are, becomes a top priority. Know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely. Geography has never mattered with our listeners, and we love that fact, that people from all over, whether they be from Florida or Connecticut or Plattsburgh, it's the WAMC community, and it's one person helping another person, and in this case, a family of four who are in need. And Andrew, I just, before we have to take a break here in a second, but I just want to have you talk to us about how you've seen the need increase since the pandemic hit, and really since early to mid-March, of what it's been like. We've all seen the cars lined up. We've all seen various pictures. There is, I will reference an article that was in the New York Times. I'm sorry, it was actually in the Atlantic. I apologize. There was a big story in the Atlantic about food banks can't go on like this. Demand is spiking and meeting it is costlier than ever. Without more changes to federal and state food assistance, the status quo is unsustainable. So with headlines like that, what is the need in your food bank and how are you dealing with it?
I appreciate the question. We've experienced a 20% increase in the demand for food assistance in the March to April time period compared to the same period last year. We're clearly seeing more patrons seeking out food assistance, many of whom we've never met before, people who have joined the ranks of the newly unemployed, which we know is skyrocketing. We also know that the coronavirus is really hitting much harder vulnerable populations at risk of hunger, which is often the case, and clearly in large metropolitan areas, and that has, as we all know, a disproportional impact on people of color and anyone who lives in concentrated municipal communities. So we're very cognizant of that, and we're coming up with plans to target our food distribution where it's needed most, where folks are being impacted directly by COVID-19. The challenge is that we're receiving fewer donations of food from the retail food industry for obvious reasons. There's a real tightening of the supply chain for food. We're relying heavily on, as we always have, on the federal government and a state program here in Massachusetts called MEFAP. And given the generous support we're receiving from the community, we're now purchasing more food with our own unrestricted dollars than we ever have before to make up for the loss in food donations. So it's a trying time, without a doubt. I have to say, we're grateful to the community for its support. We now understand, with all the attention to food banks, that there's a greater awareness of our role, and it's an extremely important one. But we know we can't do it without the support of the public sector, state, and specifically the federal government. So we're relying on the federal government to provide more food that should be coming in late June, July, but we also need our community and our government to rally around and support and defend the SNAP program, the Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program, without which we would be overwhelmed as food banks across the country.
Now, we're at it. I just have to take a quick break, and then we'll come right back. Please help. Do what you can do. 1-800-323-9262, WAMC.org. We'll be right back. Wow. Little Richard, good morning. That'll wake you up. Good stuff. And hopefully get you into a mood to help us out and to help feed families that are in need. Right now, a $100 pledge to WAMC. Emily Fisher will donate the equivalent of 3 months of food for a family of four to the Food Bank of Western Massachusetts. Andrew Morehouse, Executive Director of the Food Bank of Western Massachusetts, joins us on the phone this morning. Also, Alan Chartuk, of course, and our panelists, Rosemary Armeo and Libby Post. We desperately need your help. 1-800-323-9262 and WAMC.org is where you can give the money. We've already made... Go ahead, Alan.
No, you.
We've already made $5,000. We need to make another 20. We have $3,000that we have on the table to make this. I will say that in during the break, because Alan asked, and when Alan asks, people listen. The wonderful Molly Tabashnikov has said that if we make our goal by 11 o'clock this morning, meaning our entire goal, because you remember we're trying to make $50,000, that if we make all of that by 11 o'clock this morning, she'll give us $5,000.
And by the way, we're getting pretty close to the end, to the $1 million that we thought we would go limping into June 1st with. We're almost there now. Now, folks, WAMC has all kinds of fiscal issues. We're doing very well. Our CFO, Jordan Yoxall, has been unbelievably proficient at keeping us telling us what's going on right now. But we are projecting a fairly huge loss here at WAMC. And so anything you can do, if you could stick it in an envelope and send it to 318 Central Avenue, Albany, New York, 12206, 318 Central Avenue, Albany, New York, 12206. We'll go to WAMC.org and do it that way. Now, I just want to do one thing, Joe, and that is to tell you about Andrew. He has a fan club. And we heard from Rich in Amherst, Massachusetts, who says, Andrew's done great work at the food bank. Now, the reason I read this is because, as you know, I love Amherst, Massachusetts. I think it's a great place, and it's a great staple of the WAMC crowd. And so I thank you, Rich, for giving Andrew that compliment, but also because I'm counting on all you folks in Amherst and Springfield and everywhere else who listen to this program to say, this is my radio station, and I'm going to put something into this, and I can do that. Over to you, Joe.
1-800-323-9262, WAMC.org. And we are looking to, obviously, we need to get to $860,000. We're at $840,000 now. We need your help. We want to feed hungry people. And I have to say, Andrew, when I think about what you're doing and the work that you do, I mean, obviously, nobody was prepared in any way, shape, or form by what happened with the pandemic hitting this country as well as hitting the world. But when it does, how much? Give us a sense of the shock absorbers of that are on the car in the sense of making sure that you can get through something like this relatively easily.
I like that metaphor. I don't know if we have shock absorbers, but we have an incredibly dedicated staff that, you know, jumped right in, and that we've learned in a very short period of time how to pivot, adapt, adjust, and get food out there. And a lot of it has to do with our incredible local partners, those pantries and meal sites, their staff, their volunteers, which for a period of time, we all know, we're all concerned and continue to be concerned about their health. So it did create some interruptions, some temporary closures of pantries and in some of our direct delivery programs, like the Mobile Food Bank and Brown Bag, that continue to persist. But with every passing day, as circumstances change on the ground, more and more of our partners and sites are opening up, and we're able to get the food that's out there. And it comes with even a broader group of community-minded folks who, you know, have come beckoning and are doing whatever they can to fill the gaps. And so we're really grateful for everyone. And I have to point out that Emily Fisher is a good friend of our food bank as well. I've met her on two occasions at our Brown Bag site at the Senior Center in Great Barrington, and the Mobile Food Bank that I mentioned earlier at CHIP and CHP in Great Barrington. She's a remarkable woman, and I want to publicly thank her as well. And full disclosure, I did not plant Rich over in Amherst.
No, well, I have a thing about Amherst. I really do. It's just such the heart of Western Massachusetts listenership for WAMC, as is Springfield and so many of these other places. But I never fail to mention that, because we are so in debt to the good folks of Amherst. Yeah.
This idea, 1-800-323-9262, I'll mention that, and 1-800-323-9262. Again, I just want to you know, we get opportunities at times, and this is just a wonderful opportunity that people are able to take advantage of not only helping their public radio station, but also for feeding a family of four for 3 months. You know, this is money that I don't think I'm speaking out of turn, Andrew, that you were not expecting otherwise, that is money that is coming to you as a result of Emily and us working together, and we're thrilled that we can do that. The fact is that we can not only help this public radio station, but we can also you can feed a family of four for 3 months. The way this works is you give us $100, send us $100. That $100 comes to WAMC. That triggers Emily Fisher's donation to the equivalent of 3 months of food for a family of four to the Food Bank of Western Massachusetts. So it's a twofer. It's a really big deal. And we are very, very happy that we are able to do this. I just want to go back real quick, Andrew, to something that you mentioned of the idea that in March and April, the food bank distributed almost 20% more emergency food than you did comparing to a year ago. I mentioned the Atlantic article about food banks can't go on like this is the headline of that article. How do you think this is fundamentally going to change your work?
Well, that's a good question, and we will see. I mean, we've never experienced anything like this before, not even during the Great Recession. You know, we had a tremendous twofold spike in the number of people we served every month, and honestly, it never declined thereafter. We've, since that period of time, the end of the Great Recession, 2013, where we continue to serve twice as many people as we served before the Great Recession. Clearly, we were at a new normal then, and we can only expect that we're going to be at a, and we're going to have to stop saying this, a new normal. The world is constantly changing, and I think it's going to change. We all know it's going to change dramatically as it is right now. And so we will have to see. Food banks will, you know, the second part of our mission statement is to lead the community to end hunger. And as much as we wanted to do that before the Great Recession, and as much as we want to do that today, we just ain't going to be able to do that. We have to feed people now at the moment, and then, and only then can we, and as we continue to do that, seek long-term solutions to ending hunger, which is a chronic and persistent and pernicious reality of our country and has been long before COVID-19 came around. So, but we can't do it without a public-private partnership, and it's going to take the three pillars of our federal anti-hunger programs that go back to, you know, the 20th century: the SNAP program, formerly food stamps, our school meals programs, and the summer meals programs, to defend them, to protect them, to expand them, quite frankly, and do many other things to think differently about how we raise people up who are the most vulnerable in our community so that they have adequate employment at wages that support their families and so on, and other opportunities. So we can get beyond this. But for the moment, for the foreseeable future, certainly we expect throughout the remainder of this year and into next year, we'll be just responding to the incredible increased need.
Alan?
Yeah, I'm sorry for interrupting, Andrew. You're doing a terrific job, and we really all appreciate it. However, something has happened. Molly Tabachnikov, now we know her because she's been there with us many, many times, but she just did something which I really want to tell everybody about, of Coconut Beach, Florida, right? Coconut Beach, Florida. She's challenging $5,000. Now, this is what's so important, and I want everybody to know it. Quote, if we reach our goal this morning during the panel.
So that's 11. That's a, we said 11 o'clock.
Okay, ladies and gentlemen, just so you'll know, this is really important. Because many people will say, okay, here's a challenge, use it the way you want to use it, say what you want, that's it. But not Molly. Molly is saying, if you reach it, which means if you don't reach it, you don't get it. So that's $5,000, take us a long way to ending this Lockbox, which so many people have been appreciating and been with us on. So Molly Tabachnikov says 5,000, but if you can make it in this time. So Joe, take it from there.
Indeed. 1-800-323-9262. 1-800-323-WAMC. 1-800-323-9262.
And don't use the number unless you have to, because there are just a few of staff in the place. We can handle what you can send to us, but the main thing is WAMC.org. If you can do it that way, we're asking for that. We really appreciate it. And, of course, you can stick something in an envelope and send it to 318 Central Avenue, Albany, New York, 12206. Sorry, Joe, over to you.
All right. We have $845,000 now. We've already made $10,000. We need you now. 1-800-323-9262. Pledge $100 to WAMC. Emily Fisher will donate the equivalent of 3 months of food to a family of four at the Food Bank of Western Massachusetts. Overall, right now, $8,000 in challenge money on the table, so a lot of money between now and 11 o'clock, but we need you. And we have a $25,000, we're hoping to get $25,000 by in the next 13 minutes. So a lot going on. We're going to take a quick break and catch up on that. When we come back, we will continue. We love all of you. Keep doing what you're doing. WAMC.org, WAMC.org. We'll be right back.
Good golly, Miss Molly. So like the ball. When you're rocking and rolling, can't hear your mama call.
Good morning. Welcome back to the roundtable and to our panel discussion this morning. And we have Alan Chartok, Libby Post, and Rosemary Armeo. And I swear we'll get to them in just a minute.
How are we doing? How are we doing?
We are doing well. We have $846,000 of the $860,000 that we need. We are doing very well. Andrew, I'm going to let you do what you need to do in your day. But is there anything else we need to know? Any parting wisdom you would like to share with us before we go off and try to make the rest of this money for you all?
Well, I first want to just thank you very much, all of you, the WAMC family, for what you're doing. Not only this funding opportunity, but getting the word out there, getting the truth out there in so many ways. And I guess I would just end by saying that something a little unique about the Food Bank of Western Massachusetts is that we were the first food bank in the country to own its own farm. And as early as this year, we actually purchased a second food bank farm with the support of Emily Fisher, no less. And it's our way of not only protecting farmland in perpetuity, but also providing access to farmland to our local farmers, who two of whom now will be farming this farm to grow organic vegetables, to provide that food to us to distribute to at-risk families, as well as selling it directly to local schools and high-poverty school districts to feed our most vulnerable children. And so we're proud of that, and it's just another example of what we're trying to do to fulfill our mission. And so thank you for supporting us very much.
All right. Well, Andrew, thank you very much. Andrew Morehouse is Executive Director of the Food Bank of Western Massachusetts. And we thank you very much for being here. And again, the money comes to WAMC. It triggers the Emily Fisher donation to go to the Food Bank of Western Massachusetts and to make a month's worth of food available to a family of four. So we thank you very much for being with us, for partnering, and for working so hard with us. Thank you, Andrew. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
All right. 1-800-323-9262. 1-800-323-WAMC. 1-800-323-9262. Okay, so let's get into some other stuff here of what's going on in the world as we bang on through and try to make this money in a very short period of time. You know,
how much we made, Joe? We needed $25,000. How are we doing?
We need $14,000.
See, now remember what Molly Tabachnikov said. She said you have to make the money. She's not kidding around. I know this. I've been doing this for a lot of years. There are people who come along and say, here's $5,000, do what you want. But that's not this. This is, we need to get the money. So we're going to need $25,000 in this half hour and $25,000 in next half hour. Right now, right, Joe, we're way behind.
Yeah, well, yeah, hour, not half hour, but yes.
Yes.
Hour. Yes, mm-hmm. Right. 1-800-323-9262. We are behind, but we'll, you know, we'll do it, right?
You're a better man than I am. I just worry all the time. I stay up at night. I roll over and I say, what if we don't get that? What if we lose that money? That would be terrible. Look, folks, we all know what this is about. This is about helping people who really can need it, as well as your radio station, which is why you're listening. And Western Massachusetts, I know, will come out. And I know that the people in New York State who've been the beneficiaries of Western Massachusetts, backing them and their food and all of the rest, they'll do it now, too, because we're all in this together. 1-800-323-9262, if you must. Otherwise, WAMC.org, if you can. Or stick it in an envelope and send it to us at 318 Central Avenue, Albany, New York, 12206. Over to you, Joe.
1-800-323-9262, as Alan said, if you must. We just have a few phones loaded, but we do have... unlimited capability on the internet. WAMC.org, WAMC.org, or support our postal service while we still have one. 318 Central Avenue, Albany, New York, 12206. We now need $9,000. $9,000. 1-800-323-9262. Okay, so let us talk about some things in the news, and we'll go on there. We will, let me begin with the story, of course, that has been making headlines all weekend, which is the coronavirus coming to the White House, of actually being in the White House, and the White House racing to contain the virus in its ranks. Meanwhile, trying to tell everybody that they, you know, that maybe they don't need testing, and yet the White House is relying primarily on testing. We learned in the last few days that Katie Miller, the vice president, the vice president's press secretary, tested positive for the coronavirus. We also have learned that a valet, a military valet for the president, also tested positive for the coronavirus. There are other people who apparently have tested positive. The president has been mixed on this in saying that he is questioning even some of the testing, because I think in the case of Katie Miller, said, well, she tested negative on Thursday and then tested positive on Friday, so we don't really know. Well, I don't
know.
We know.
Not only that, we know who her husband is.
Stephen Miller. Stephen Miller.
We can only hope.
Stop it.
We're
not allowed to say that.
No, we don't say that. No, we don't say that. That's just wrong.
All right.
Right. You don't.
$8,800 to go. Go ahead, Libby. Now that you've disturbed the force, go ahead.
Okay, yeah. Well, you know, I think what's going to start happening now is that that Trump is going to continue his ineptness in dealing with this, but also the misinformation, and, you know, liberate the states, do all the sort of stuff that he's fomenting, and now he's going to question the numbers of people who have died, because he doesn't believe that many people died, and he's going to question the veracity of the tests. And all this is going to do is mean more people are going to die. That's it. We keep seeing the states that prematurely opened up, you know, the beaches, this, that, and the other thing, and their cases now are going through the roof. And so, you know, the man has no respect for human life. He really doesn't care what happens to other people. Now that it's in the White House, we will see what really happens.
Rosemary, I know we dropped you. We were dropped there for a second,
back. I picked up. Yeah, I mean, basically, I shouldn't say what I want to say, which is I hope they all die.
Oh,
yeah.
Jesus. Will you all stop it? Good Lord. We're talking about helping people.
No, this is just
rays of light. Rays of light.
They're the ones who caused all this.
This is
their
wrong.
Fault.
Now, it may be their fault, and you may be right about that, Rosemary, and you know I love you, but I have to tell you, we shouldn't be doing that. It just isn't right.
With all due respect, starting with Stephen Miller.
Okay, look, I want to...
That's terrible. That is... hello, this is Alan Chartok saying that's terrible.
Yeah, I'm disavowing myself of this whole thing. What I want to get to is that, because I'm not wishing ill on anyone. And anybody who gets this horrible illness, I feel really horrible for. But I have to say, what does it say about our overall response? I mean, it seems as though this has put us even more into a tizzy, if you will, of where it's kind of hard to say that everything's going to be okay when you have members of your inner circle, your very inner circle, who are coming down with this. And the other thing that I meant to mention is you have the head of the CDC and Dr. Fauci, mm-hmm. who have now sidelined themselves, who have gone into isolation because they have been in contact with people who have tested positive, who we can only assume is probably one of the two individuals. And meanwhile, you have the vice president whose own press secretary has coronavirus and has said he will not self-quarantine.
Now, remember, this is the same vice president who will not be alone in a room with a woman. With its own press secretary, it'd be interesting to know whether or not that's the case. Look, I get what Libby is saying, and I get what Rosemary is saying. Look, here's the thing. These people have caused, in my opinion, the death of many people.
Yes.
Right. They have caused the death of many people. But we're not going to say that they should die because of it. We don't have a death penalty in this country. That was a little sardonic. Okay.
You know, we have a death penalty in this country, and it's called COVID-19 right now.
Right.
We have a death penalty that's called the electric chair.
We don't have a death sentence. But you know, the fact is, I get what you're saying, Alan, and you know, you don't want to put that kind of bad mojo out into the universe. I totally understand. But the fact remains that, you know, Trump was taking this seriously until he started to realize the minority communities and poor communities that were the ones who were being disproportionately affected. My question is, what's going on at the border? What's going on with all those people that are locked up in camps and cages in the border? Nobody's reporting about that, but I can't imagine that those folks aren't suffering with this. Just like it'll go through a jail if somebody, you know, tests positive, it has to go like wildfire through those camps, and there are children there. So, you know, the fact is that there's just a total disregard for humanity coming out of the White House.
I don't disagree with that.
Well, listen, I think there is such a thing as crimes against humanity, and you mentioned the ICE camps. I also could mention prisons, could mention nursing homes, all kinds of institutions, and hospitals themselves are suffering, and nursing homes are suffering huge deaths that might have been avoided had there been a more responsible response. And yeah, I do think that that's a capital crime.
And you know, Rose. Okay, so there. So you know, Rosemary. Something you just mentioned tripped off something in my mind, and that was that Andrew Cuomo was under some criticism, as you probably know, for mm-hmm. telling nursing homes that they had to take COVID patients from hospitals. A lot of people got very upset by that. Cuomo has rescinded that now. He says, no, that's not necessary. What really is important here is that Cuomo has the ability to say, that was a mistake. I'm not going to stay with that, as opposed to this president who will never admit a mistake.
Right. I mean, I think that there is a swell of sympathy in people who see a president trying to cope with just an absolutely unprecedented event, okay? And if he showed just a little bit of just what Fauci did, if he had said, wow, when I look back at it, I wish we had done X, Y, and Z. If I had it to do over, I would. I'm going to make sure that my mistakes are not repeated. There would be such a swell of sympathy and support for him. But it's not possible. And I, for one, am hoping that voters will see this as a fault in the man that makes him a very bad leader that he has to always be right and can never take the blame.
All
but
right.
Now that, but oh, you gotta go, right?
Yeah.
Okay. I want to check in on Fauci after we come back. Okay.
Okay. Ray is waiting patiently. We're way past our time here. In the mean, we need
how
your.
How much do we need?
I will tell you. We actually need $5,700. $5,700 to make this goal. We are close. And we know that you'll do it. $100 comes to WAMC. That triggers Emily Fisher to make the funds available for a month of food to a family of four to the Food Bank of Western Massachusetts, to the Food Bank of the Western Massachusetts. And very important, we're helping a lot of people this morning.
How about the match? How about the group? The
that's
match,
right.
The
so fun, we have until 11 o'clock. We have, I believe, now $8,000 in challenge, a 5,000 and three ones. Add all that up, you get $8,000, right?
That's right.
All right. So there we go. We're going to take that. We'll give you some time to do it. We're going to go to news, and we'll be right back after this.
But I love you still, Lucy.
Oh, Little Richard, listening to Little Richard this morning as we celebrate his amazing life and his amazing music. Little Richard died Saturday at the age of 87. We have a playlist posted online, wamc.org, wamc.org. All
Joe,
right. Yes, Alan.
May I? And I'm sorry for interrupting because that's the only way we can do it these days. we're getting a lot of mail on this last go-round. I heard from a very close relative of mine who thoroughly enjoyed it, as to the appropriateness of, the president or the vice president getting the illness. Nevertheless, we've heard from a lot of people who say, this is inappropriate. You shouldn't say that. Well, here's the point. A lot of people say things in the privacy of their homes, and that's a lot different than when you're saying it, on the radio. But that's what a panel is all about. You heard Rosemary and Libby and their views on it, and then you heard Joe and I say, "Well, we don't want to talk that way." That's what a panel is. You can't hold everybody responsible. Panels take different views. And as far as I'm concerned, I think it's one thing to think something yourself or to say it in the privacy of your home, and it's another thing to say it on the radio. If you're following me,
yeah,
and we did get one letter that I'd like to read from Bob, who says, "What would happen if, after the conventions, both Trump and Biden died of COVID-19? Would Nancy Pelosi automatically become president? It depends."
No.
Go ahead.
Well, Pence has to die also.
That's what he said. That's what they said.
Both can we please,
I thought you said
oh,
Biden.
Oh, no,
can
you're
we
right.
Please
you're right.
Stop
you're right.
Having this conversation?
No.
Oh, no, this is just the order of succession. This is a constitutional conversation. The president and the vice president both have to vacate the office however they may choose in order for the speaker of the House to then become president.
And I read
that's
it
all.
Wrong. I read it. You're right. And I read it wrong, which was I thought the question was what would happen if both the president and the vice president died. Well, they would have to die at the same time, if you think about this, because, right, are you following me? Because if because if the vice president is alive, he gets to nominate his own vice president on the 25th
that's
Amendment.
Right.
We all know that. And so that's the way it would work. But if they were in the same room and something terrible happened, then on to Pelosi.
Got it.
Yep.
All right. 1-800-323-9262. Alan, we need $1,300 to make to get to the $860,000 point, and then we're going to have something else to talk about. So I just want to just tell people that we are so close. We are just a whisker away. In fact, we're $1,200 away right now.
But altogether, we need $50,000, right? This morning, she said. Isn't that – am I wrong?
No,
right
you're right. That? You're absolutely right. You're absolutely right.
We don't want to fool with her.
And we have another guest, and I just want to but to do it this time and not to get too far behind, right now, we need $1,200.
Okay, let's go, everybody. $1,200, we could do that. And then we have to earn another $25,000, right, Joe?
Right. And you know, what we're doing is we're helping a lot of people. We're helping a lot of people as far as food insecurity, hunger, people who are hungry in our region. If you just look at the articles that have taken place with what is happening with SNAP, formerly food stamps, what is happening in our region with so many people as a result of COVID, with what 40 million people or something on unemployment and out of work, the jobless rate out of work, that it is really scary. And they are seeing, we just heard from Andrew at the food bank of Western Massachusetts, that they are up 20% in just the month and a half since 2 months since all of this started to take place. For every $100 to WAMC, Emily Fisher will donate the equivalent of a month of food for a family of four to the Food Bank of Western Massachusetts.
That's wonderful.
It really is. It is amazing. We need $900 now. $900. Will you do this to help the Food Bank of Western Massachusetts? WAMC.org, WAMC.org, or you can also just, support the Postal Service. Goodness knows they need support. 318 Central Avenue, Albany, New York, 12206. And you can also reach us. We have a couple of operators standing by. 1-800-323-9262. 1-800-323-9262.
Okay, so let me get this straight, Joe, because I want to make sure everybody understands. It's not that we need $900 now. It's that we need another...
Correct.
We need how much altogether?
I have to do that. I just have to do some quick math here. But we are, we get the $900 at 860, and then you get.
Now remember, while we're vamping, that there's $5,000 on the table.
Right.
But she was quite clear, Molly Tabachnikov. And I know the Tabachnikovs, but not the same family, because I knew some Tabachnikovs who used to go trapping raccoons on Allerton Avenue in the park.
But it's not the same family?
I went to school with them. I asked her. She said no, it was not the same, not that she knew about. So it's a great family of raccoon trappers in the Bronx.
Okay, but those aren't the people with the money?
No.
Okay.
but they were the raccoons.
1-800-323-9262, 1-800-323-WAMC. Okay. We need in a few minutes, we're going to have another guest. We're going to go forward. But you're right, Alan. What we're looking to do is we need $880,000.
Yeah, no, but how much do we need now to get the $5,000 from Molly Tabachnikov, who is not the raccoon trapper?
so that would be $20,339.
And we have to do that before 11 o'clock, right?
Correct.
And we only have about 45 minutes to do that in, 43
correct.
Minutes to do it in.
Yes, sir.
So now we are potentially going to lose not only the $5,000, but the $3,000 that our other friends put up. That's $8,000. But the $5,000 we know we will lose, you see, because she said so. She said you have to do it in order to get the $5,000. Let me tell you, I've been doing this for a long time, and when somebody talks that way, they mean it. So what can I tell you?
1-800-323-9262. I'm sorry, I still haven't quite gotten over the raccoon trappers in the Bronx. But anyway,
their name was Tabachnikov.
1-800-323-9262. 1-800-323-WAMC.
They were brothers.
The flying Tabachnikovs and their raccoons. 1-800-323-9262. All right, one more story, and then we're going to take a break, and then we're going to come back and reset the table, and everything's going to be fine. I keep telling myself. Okay.
Well,
so,
I don't like it. I don't like it. We need a lot of money. How much do we need?
We do need we need about $20,000.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Whatever you say.
1-800-323-9262. 1-800-323-WAMC. 1-800-323-9262. okay. We have this. I do want to talk. We've been talking about the virus and the White House. Let us now talk a little bit about what was said yesterday, on because as we're talking about this issue of hunger and food insecurity in our region, we learned yesterday that top Trump economic advisors say that unemployment rate could surpass 20%. The job market could worsen. Two of President Trump's top economic advisors projected Sunday that unemployment will climb as the coronavirus pandemic continues its sweep across the United States, with one official predicting that unemployment rate will jump to 20% next month. The statements from White House economic advisor Kevin Hassett and Treasury Secretary Steven Mnuchin came 3 days after the Labor Department reported its highest unemployment figures since the Great Depression, and as the U.S. death toll from the coronavirus surpassed 79,000. So, Rosemary Armeo, I ask you the question of, so how do you send out your economic advisors and tell that news while the president keeps saying that we are going to bounce back bigger and better than ever within just a few months?
Well, it does contradict that message that we're going to bounce back fast. I think we will bounce back. There are differences between the level now and at the time of the Depression. They tend to be bunched in. The job loss tends to be bunched in only a few areas, not across the board as it was in the Depression. It's all attributable to disease rather than to some failing of the system. I think the economy is going to come back. The problem is how fast Trump wants to do it. I am taking some satisfaction in the fact that Hassett is one of the guys who's out there talking. It was his model saying we can get the economy up and running much faster than the doctors say we can. And we still, to me, that's the biggest threat right now. We have 47 states that are opening to some degree or another, and there's a great deal of skepticism that they can do that safely. There are more deaths, more illnesses and cases. We're going to see a second shutdown, and that truly would be ruinous.
Libby Post.
Well, you know, I don't think they really know what they're talking about, to be quite honest. I think Trump always wants to have a rosy perspective from his economics guys, just to, you know, reconfirm what he wants to say is the truth. And they don't see how much devastation there is. And the fact that they are saying, no, we're not going to give money to Democratic states who have been mismanaged. This notion that we're all not one part of the United States, but there's a red United States and a blue United States. The fact that the feds are dragging their feet and giving economic aid to the states and localities to help with the unemployment, to help with healthcare, to help with schools, it's going to wreak an economic devastation across a swath of education, healthcare, all of this that people need, and they really don't care because their hedge funds are doing just fine. This is the epitome of government by greed and cronyism, crony capitalism. I mean, it really is a disgusting display of what happens when you don't care a whit about other people.
Alan.
There is so much, you know, at play here in terms of this president. It is such a national nightmare. It is so beyond my comprehension how this could have happened to us, that this guy and the people who support him, and Rosemary has talked about this a number of times, that's the most puzzling thing to me. I'm just flummoxed by the whole thing. By the way, the mail is just incredible. It's 50-50. Some people who are saying, you know, Rosemary and Libby spoke their minds, good for them. And there are an awful lot of people saying this is just impermissible to talk that way. I just want to keep everybody aware of where the mail is heading. But it's in both sides, and it's extraordinary. I just want to point out one more time, it's a panel. Two people say one thing, two people say another thing. That's a panel. Don't go castigating everybody because of what somebody either said or didn't say. Rosemary, you want to say anything about this?
About whether I'm wishing ill on the president? I cannot. I do wish it.
Uh-huh. Okay. And the fact of the matter is that they're
not saying it doesn't make it any less true that I wish it.
Yeah.
Okay. And their actions have wished ill on the entire public. Has brought it. You know, he's talking about, oh, the tests don't work. The tests don't work. We don't need, if we have too many tests and we have too many positive, it makes us look bad. Yet he gets tested every day. What's that about?
Yeah, and in the beginning, he didn't get tested every day, and then there was hell to pay about that, and he won't wear a mask himself.
Right,
And it's just the lack of leadership is just appalling. Do I think when he leaves office, it would be appropriate to look into all his misconduct and to perhaps put him in jail? Yes, I do.
Absolutely.
But I think that's
different. Any less worse if I say, okay, I want him to get it. I don't want him to die. I just want him to get really, really sick like Boris did. And then he came to his senses and he's actually doing smart things for his country because he has empathy. Is that acceptable?
I'm not going to ever tell you what's acceptable or not.
The difference is...
I don't do that.
Yeah, the difference is that Boris is not a sociopath. Trump is.
Check, please. Okay, we're going to take a break.
How's that? Money. How are we doing?
$17,176 is what we need when we come back.
We only have 35 minutes to do it in, and that's not going to be easy. That's going to be hard.
When we come back, we're going to meet Mark Quant, who is from the food bank, the regional food bank of northeastern New York, and we are going to talk about what we're going to do with them this morning, and I'm sure that will help us in this amazing thing of getting to almost 900,000 to be 880, and with the challenge money, we'll be darn close to that. So $16,873 now.
So calm. I'm scared to death here.
Yeah.
You know, I'm really worried about this.
Well, the meds have kicked in.
What'd you say?
Nothing. Go ahead.
But the Molly Tabachnikov, not of the raccoon Tabachnikovs, said, and she meant it. We gotta assume she meant it. $5,000 if you can make it by 11 o'clock. And how far away are we now, Joe?
We are. I have to do a new total, but we're about $16,300.
Oh, all right. Come on, everybody.
So let's take a break. We'll be right back. 1-800-323-9262. WAMC.org. WAMC.org or postal 318 Central Avenue. Albany, New York, 12206. We'll be right back. And I have a ball. I'm gonna rock it up. I'm gonna rip it up. Good morning. Welcome back to the roundtable and to our panel discussion this morning. Very nice to have you with us. And we have a wonderful panel, Alan Chartok, Rosemary Armeo, and Libby Post, talking about a lot of important issues. We welcome you to join the chorus panel at WAMC.org. Meanwhile, trying to make a lot of money this morning, we are $16,326 away from our goal. We have about 31 minutes to do it in. We want to welcome to the conversation a good friend of ours and a person who has always been there for us and someone that we greatly admire. Mark Quant is with us. He is from the Regional Food Bank of Northeastern New York, the executive director of the Regional Food Bank. And Mark, it's a great pleasure to hear your voice. How are you, my friend?
Good, thank you.
So nice to have you with us. So what we did a lot of good work this morning for Western Massachusetts, and now we want to do the same for Northeastern New York. For every $100 donation, the Seymour Fox Memorial Foundation will donate the equivalent of 200 meals to people in need through the services of the Regional Food Bank of Northeastern New York. That is just incredible. So for every $100 donation, the Seymour Fox Memorial Foundation will donate the equivalent of 200 meals in need through the services of the Regional Food Bank of Northeastern New York. That means that the money comes to us. The Seymour Fox Memorial Foundation will be triggered then to donate the equivalent of those 200 meals. Mark Quant, executive director of the Regional Food Bank of Northeastern New York, give us a sense of what you are going through right now, what it is like, and ultimately, for someone who may be thinking about giving to us and having this donation be triggered, of what it ultimately means to help these 200 people, 200 meals rather, to people in need throughout the region?
Yeah, well, it has been unprecedented times for us, as I think it is for everybody right now. The requests for assistance are way beyond anything we've ever experienced. Our regular agencies, the food pantries primarily, that we serve throughout the 23 counties in eastern New York that we cover, are serving record numbers of people. A lot of them have seen increases of 50% or more in the number of people turning to them for help. So their orders of food from us have grown substantially. But in addition to that, we've been doing a lot of additional, we call them special distributions, to sites throughout our area. So sometimes the county government sets it up, or the city, sometimes local groups, where we will bring a truckload of food, either a straight truck, 12 pallets worth, or tractor trailer, to a location. And then people will drop those pallets, and there's local volunteers who, a lot of these are being done, we call them a drive-through, because you can't have the normal direct contact with people. So people will be driving in their cars. The volunteers will pull product off the pallet, put it in their trunk. Trunk is open, and the cars are just driving through getting a box load of food. So
let me ask an honest question, which I don't know the answer to, but we've been seeing these pictures of these cars lined up, and it's really striking. I mean, to me, it just shows a great need and of great concern that there is that much need in our community. If it wasn't cars and it was just people, is it sort of an apples and apples comparison, or is it really that much more of a need?
I guess the way it's being done is simply related to the fact you can't do things the
right
way you
in
did
person
before.
Right,
you can't pack
yes.
food and
yes.
or have people come and you're talking to them and they pick what they want off the table. You can't do that right now, so it's just a different way, and not everybody does it that way. Some are pre-packing the bags, so the cars are not related to the need. That's just related to the disease and the infections that we're trying to avoid. But the need is there. People are out of work. People are really struggling right now. Kids are home. Kids are eating more meals at home. There's just a lot more pressure on a lot of families right now. Obviously, they're talking about unemployment rates not seen since the Great Depression. So that's almost 100 years ago. So the need is just there. We get calls all the time. Our answer simply is, if you need the food, we're going to put something together. We're going to send it to you, and we send them a load of, typically it's produce, meat, and dairy products, and maybe a couple other things that we add to that. So, yeah, the way I look at it, and this has been true since I've been here, and I've been here a long time, and we've done special distributions like this, and we do them all the time anyway, just not to this extent. People don't get in line and stand there in line or drive through in line and wait sometimes for over an hour, say maybe 2 hours, unless there's a need. You just don't do
right,
that.
Right. Well, so what we're doing this morning, and I'm so glad you're here with us to tell us these important things, is that for every $100 that comes to WAMC, that triggers the Seymour Fox Memorial Foundation to donate the equivalent of 200 meals. What we're seeing, Alan, is that people are giving 200, 400, 600 meals, meaning $300, $400, $500, because they want to help so many people. Right now, we need about $14,000 to make our goal, but whatever you can do right now to help and to make these, not only to help us, but to trigger this from the Seymour Fox Memorial Foundation to donate the equivalent of 200 meals to people in need. Just think of that if you're able to provide 200 meals. If you feel helpless in all this, if you're reading the stories and you do feel helpless and say, well, what can I do? This is something that you can do. WAMC.org, 1-800-323-9262, 1-800-323-WAMC. One thing, Mark, that is different in talking to you, I mean, obviously, Andrew Morehouse, and we were talking to earlier from the Food Bank of Western Massachusetts, I mean, their area is huge, too, but your area is really large.
Yeah, we cover 23 counties in the eastern part of the state. So our service area extends from the Canadian border down to the New Jersey and Pennsylvania borders. Everything on the eastern part of the state except for Westchester County and New York City and Long Island. And we go out west to Montgomery, Fulton County, Otsego, Delaware. So it's kind of that long, narrow strip that we cover. So there are 10 food banks in the state. Each food bank has a designated service area. So we're not overlapping. We're not competing with donors or anything like that. But we do have the whole state covered by the 10 food banks in the state. And ours geographically is by far the largest in the state. And next to the two food banks in New York City, we would be the largest food bank in terms of volume of food we provide also.
Alan, we need $13,621 to make $8,000 in challenge money and to get where we need to be.
Well, I don't know about you, Joe, but I'm scared. I really am. This gives us about, 23 minutes, something like that?
Correct.
And how much do we need?
$13,621.
And remember, everybody, that's 136 of you, or something like that? And
136.
136 of you. Now, if we can do this, we're going to get $5,000 from our wonderful friend who's calling in from Florida, Molly Tabachnikov. I don't know whether they have those, raccoons down there, but I do know that this would be a real shame if we lost it. Now, she made it quite clear that we don't get the money if we don't make the goal. The goal is incredible. We can do it, but we're going to need your help now. WAMC.org. It's so easy. WAMC.org. Put a few dollars in, or 1-800-323-9262. Again, 1-800-323-9262. Or go to grab an envelope, put a stamp on it, and send it to 318 Central Avenue, Albany, New York, 12206. Over to you, Joe.
People are getting it. We're now at $11,900, and we have 22 minutes to go. Mark Quant, I want to ask you this because I find this to be an interesting part of what we're talking about, and that is that so much, I mean, you touched on this about getting the food and working with the grocers of our region and through this huge area that you have. Anyone who goes to the grocery store knows that it's hard for them to put stuff on the shelves. So certain products, certainly. So how does that affect you?
Well, it was interesting. After everything changed in mid-March, we used the date March 16th as the date when things really kicked in for us. Everything changed. So there was immediately a decrease in donations that we saw at the retail level, at the individual grocery stores where we pick up every day because the shelves were just wiped out at that point in time. The industry is still trying to recover from that. But at the same time, all of the companies that service restaurants and schools and institutions were hit in the other direction. They were hit negatively. Their markets or their business went way down with restaurants closed and schools closed. So they had an abundance within a few days, an abundance of product that they had in stock already to sell, and we're not going to be able to do that. So we started getting inundated with that type of product at the same time that we were losing product on the other end. So that's all, at least that side of it has kind of leveled off now, that wave that originally impacted us has kind of filtered its way through the system. And the store donations seem to be picking up again. So that aspect of it has returned to normal. I would say overall, we've probably seen things stay level. We've had to work harder. We're part of a national organization called Feeding America. Feeding Yep. America's been on the news a lot Yep. lately. And through that network, Feeding America works with national donors. We've been able to access a lot of produce nationally that has helped us tremendously to kind of get through this because our food distribution is up 50% over what it was a year ago. So we've been, fortunately, when the whole thing hit for us, we had a good inventory in stock. So that got us off to a good start. More recently, New York State has put $25 million into a pot, into a grant, I guess you could say, that has been made available to all the food banks in the state. It's not money that we use for administrative purposes. It's specifically, strictly to be used to purchase New York State agricultural products. Because on top of everything else, a lot of farmers, especially dairy farmers, got hurt when some of their markets dried up, and some of the producers also. So that's going to help us out in these. We just really are underway with that, but it's going to give us money to purchase some good product, a lot of produce, a lot of dairy products that we'll be able to get. So we've been kind of piecing it together. We've been okay. We've been providing. I'm very, very proud of the quality of the food we've been providing on all the distributions. We've been really working hard on that, and we just hope that the product flow, the inflow of product can stay strong so that we can continue to meet the needs, because that has not been decreasing.
Hey, Joe, how are we doing?
Continue to be very strong.
I'm so sorry for interrupting, but Joe, how are we doing here? Last time we looked, we needed $11,000. Now we have 18 minutes to go, and I'm scared.
Go ahead. But we need $9,000, about $9,089. $9,089, and that's good, and we're doing well, but we need to do a little bit better to get where we need to be in just about 18 minutes.
I don't think that's so good. Can I disagree with you? I think it's bad. We need. You said $9,000, Joe. To get
we needed 12 to 11, whatever, and then now we're down to 9, so we're making progress. But
well, you're a better man than I. There's never been any question about that in my mind. But I am, I'm scared to death here. Molly Tabachnikov was quite clear that we needed to make it by 11 o'clock, and we have all that money to go, $9,000. When I asked you what seemed like days ago how much we needed, you said 11,000.
That's correct.
Maybe 15 minutes ago.
Yeah.
Now it's 9,000. Yeah. That rate of increase or decrease is bad. So come on, everybody. We got to do this, or we're going to lose that 5,000, and we have to assume we're going to lose it.
We're going to make one more. Have one more question for Mark, and then we're going to take a break. Okay. And then when we come back, we'll let Mark go back to his very, very important work. But Mark, I know you're planning. You have the plan going forward, and you've been talking about this. But this may include providing additional distributions and extra food, and the backpack programs, and who knows if schools will be where they're going to be in the fall. So, and on top of just keeping up with what you're keeping up with, you have to plan for a rather uncertain future.
Yeah, I think that's the hardest part, because right now we're taking it day to day, because that's all you can do. It changes all the time. The state program, the Nourish New York program, was great, and we're very, very happy with that and grateful to the state for making that available. But it does mean we have to change things up and devote time to connecting with producers and farmers to get that food flowing in.
Yep.
So it keeps changing all the time. But so we just take a day to day. I can't think too far ahead. We just have to hope and trust that things will be okay, as at least from our end, so that we can continue to serve.
Well, what we're doing this morning is that for every $100 pledged to WAMC, that triggers the Seymour Fox Memorial Foundation to donate the equivalent of 200 meals to people in need through the services of the Regional Food Bank of Northeastern New York. What we have learned in the last few minutes is that there is great need. So whatever we can do this morning is so appreciated and needed. It is a great honor to partner with you, Mark, and to work on this together. I thank you so much for spending time in your day. I know you're incredibly busy. It's been a crazy time for you. I appreciate you spending time with us, and we'll try to do you proud here in the next few minutes.
Thank you, Joe, and thank you to Seymour Fox for making this possible for us, too.
Thank you very much. We appreciate it. Okay. All right. Mark Kwan is Executive Director of the Regional Food Bank of Northeastern New York. Alan, $7,000 to go. $7,000
to go. That's scary. That is so scary. $7,000. We have how much? 15 minutes to make
$7,000.
Correct. I don't know if we can do that.
All right. 1-800-323-9262. I think we're going to show them. We'll show them that we can. Look, it's a $100 donation. The Seymour Fox, the $100 comes to us. That triggers the Seymour Fox Memorial Foundation to donate the equivalent of 200 meals to people in need throughout the through the services of the Regional Food Bank of Northeastern New York. Whatever we can do to, I don't know much more that we can say other than what Mark has been talking about, what Andrew talked about, and what we've all been mentioning this morning of the great need in our community and helping out. Please, we now need $6,800. Whatever you can do, 1-800-323-9262, WAMC.org, $6,500 now, 1-800-323-9262. We are going to take a break. We'll be right back. You know, I love our listeners. 1-800-323-9262. We've got a lot of money on the plate here, $8,000 in challenge money. And we are helping a lot of people as far as donating food, not only to Northeastern New York, but also to the Berkshires and to Western Massachusetts. We started needing a lot of money, $50,000 at the beginning of our time together. And we have 13 minutes. And right now we need $3,711. So that is amazing. We still have a, you know, it's still $3,711, but it's a lot of money that we've made so far, and we thank you very, very much for that. 1-800-323-9262, 1-800-323-WAMC, 1-800-323-9262. So that is the amount. We have 12 minutes to do it in, and there you go.
Uh-oh. And by the way, we've never fooled around with this. I mean, if somebody says, you know, you got to do what they say. And the wonderful Molly Tabachnikov has made it clear that we can do this. She'll give us the $5,000.
And then we have the other three. The other $3,000.
And then we have the other three. But, that's Joe, right. This is extraordinary. You know, this is just the way it is. This is a lot of money. And we are incredibly grateful to her for it.
$3,311 is what we need. We have 11 minutes to do it in. 1-800-323-9262. 1-800-323-9262.
Joe, do you remember all of those fun drives when we had $3,000 to go to make a million, and we it's as if the stream dried up.
We'd just sit there and remember those.
Look at each other and
still wake me up in the middle of the night.
So how much do we have to go?
$3,000.
Okay, so that $3,000. That means 30 people. That's what it means. Yeah, $100. Come on, folks. Whatever you can do, do it now. We really need your help.
1-800-323-9262. And the best way to do it right now, because the lines are loaded. We got a lot of people on the phone. Yeah. And we got a lot of people doing a lot of great things. So we need you, if you can, to go online, WAMC.org. We need $1,706 at this point. $1,706, and we'll get $8,000, and we'll be darn close to the $900,000 point in the fund drive. So that is something to keep in mind as well. 1-800-323-9262, WAMC.org. Okay, so we're going to, let's just see. I want to get just one quick total here, if you don't mind, and then I will. Then we'll move on to our final.
Well, while you're doing that, let me mention 318 Central Avenue, Albany, New York, 12206. 318 Central Avenue, Albany, New York, 12206. It's a godsend. It really is.
Absolutely. 1-800-323-9262, 1-800-323-WAMC. Okay, so as of this very moment, we need $641, $641. We have 9 minutes to do it in. So given that, I'm just going to go to our last thing here. And Libby Post, how nervous should Republicans be about losing the Senate amid worries over Trump's handling of the pandemic? Rosemary, you can answer.
Not as worried as I think the pundits have them all. I think these are all close races, yeah. And they hinge on voters abandoning Trump who have not abandoned him for anything. And there is tons of publicity being pumped out by the Republican National Committee and its operatives about what a great job Trump is doing. In other words, the opposite of what I and many of the listeners here think. So I don't think it's an easy job. They're talking about races in Maine. Susan Collins, who I dearly love to see go, and McSally out in Arizona, I'd like to see her go. But and then of course Mitch McConnell would be a dream. But their candidacies, their constituencies, are among the most rock solid red, ruby red of Republicans. So I don't think it's an easy thing. We pour money into these races as Democrats, right, but it's seen as outside money from rabble-rousing Democrats. I don't know what would make them change.
I don't want the Republicans to be too afraid, because I'd like them to feel confident in it, that they have this in the bag, so that they, and I know that that's not going to happen, but I do think that there are some seats that are in play, and that Susan Collins is in trouble and McSally is in trouble. These are states that are trending purple to blue. And so, you know, if Amy McGrath could knock out Mitch McConnell, I think it has to do with how many people get sick and die in Kentucky. And then we see what happens there. I mean, you know, I think a lot of the, and not only that, but how many people lose their jobs. Right. And I think that that's going to play a pivotal role in the Senate races, and the Republicans can throw all the money they want on their into their propaganda, but the fact remains these people will be sick and out of work and being kicked off their health insurance. 9.2 million people have lost their health insurance.
Well, the one thing that I think we should all remember is that there are some things, and I've said it before, you don't tell your mother, you don't tell your priest, you don't tell your rabbi, and you don't tell your pollster, because, you know, there's a certain je ne sais quoi in terms of why people love Trump that they don't want to talk about in polite society, if you know
right,
what I mean.
Right, they're racist. Yeah, they're racists, and he's the dog whistle. So there's absolutely that. I mean, he has given, look at what happened, you know, in Georgia, with this guy just jogging through a neighborhood and being shot by two white guys because they thought he was somebody else. I mean, and now the Georgia attorney general wants the feds to help, which is like, you know, going from the frying pan into the fire. The feds under William Barr aren't going to see anything wrong with what happened. These people are racists, and they are reveling in this presidency.
So, Libby, you said two contradictory things. If they're racist, they're racist. They're going to be supporters. There are Trump's flying flags on flagpoles attached to houses throughout upstate New York right now that say Trump 2020. Those are supporters.
Oh, I know.
It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if they lose their job or they get sick. They're not blaming that on Trump.
But that's 30 to 35% of the electorate. We're looking at the independent swing voters. Okay, we're looking at seniors who are like getting scared. We're looking at other people, we're not looking at those folks, and I have no intention of trying to convince them. That's the worst thing you can do strategically, is to try to convince your enemies to vote for you. You shore up your base, and you go after the undecideds.
We have.
And that's what we
have.
Oh,
there's no one undecided. Come on.
Oh, I don't agree with you. I do not agree with you.
Okay, we just, hate to get in the middle of a good argument, but we have about just have about 4 minutes. We have about 4 minutes left, and our phones are loaded. We have too many people on the phone. So if I can direct you to the website, please, that would be great. WAMC.org, or even better, you can just put it a check in an envelope, send it to us, 318 Central Avenue, Albany, New York, 12206. 12206.
Okay. How long do we have? How much do we have to go?
We have 3 minutes and 30 seconds. And as soon as I get this back up and running, because we were so backlogged, we're just going to take us a second. But I promise we'll have a total just
and Joe, are there any more opportunities for people?
Absolutely, to help in Western Massachusetts and to help in New York. And if you go to your drop down menu, they will appear. If you go online at WAMC.org. If you do not see them, just put that you want to help the Massachusetts Food Bank or the New York Food Bank, and we will make sure that that happens. We want to thank you very much. Okay, this just in, Alan, we are at $890,124.
Wow.
And that is not including the $8,000. The $8,000 that we, $5,000, I'm looking for it. I'm hoping you have it, Alan. I want $1,000 from Louie's mom of Del Mar, New York, $1,000 from Anonymous of Niskayuna, and $1,000 from Marianne and Bruno Quinson of Pittsfield, Massachusetts. And then, of course, the $5,000 from
Molly Tabachnikov.
Molly Tabachnikov of Florida, of all places.
Of Florida.
So we are at 900 and...
I heard from somebody, Joe, who said I shouldn't be kidding around about raccoons at a time like this. To which I say, loosen up.
1-800-323-9262. So that's... we're at 990... $119. If you add $8,000 to that, that's $998,000. So now, there you go.
318 Central Avenue, Albany, New York, 12206. You know, the truth is, we didn't ask for more than we said we were going to ask for, but boy, do we need it. So anybody can do anything and put something in an envelope and send it to 318 Central Avenue, Albany, New York, 12206. You will be ours. You'll save us.
To Libby and Rosemary, thank you very much. I promise you we'll be getting back to normal, and we'll hear more of your voices here very, very soon. And thank you very much for your patience, as always. Thanks to everyone who gave this morning and to who took part. I especially want to thank both Emily Fisher and the Seymour Fox Memorial Foundation. Emily Fisher for helping out the Food Bank of Western Massachusetts and the beautiful thing that she did this morning, as well as the Seymour Fox Memorial Foundation for their help with the Regional Food Bank of Northeastern New York. We also want to thank Andrew Morehouse, Executive Director of the Food Bank of Western Massachusetts, and Mark Quant of the Regional Food Bank of Northeastern New York. Alan, thank you very much. We'll be back right after this.